what's love got to do with it? Instead of having some readings, I'm going to tell some stories to get our discussion going. The first story is about when I first really started thinking about love. I was 9 years old and a skinny little kid, small for my age. And I had an 11-year-old cousin who was big, brawny, and a bully. And he used to periodically hit me, then run and cry, go to mama, saying I did something to him, which was never the truth. But one day he took me, my two arms, locked them behind me, and held them with one hand. So that gives you kind of the idea of the difference in our sizes. Then he put me in a chokehold. I thought I was going to die. I lost air. I was kicking him. I don't know if he finally got scared and let me go, or I was kicking him so hard he let me go. When I got out of the chokehold, I turned around, and all the 9-year-old rage in me went after him, and I beat him up. I mean, I beat him up. My mother, to say the least, was not happy with me. She did believe that, but she gave me quite a lecture, took away a day outside, and then the next day, when she was over her anger, she sat down and said to me, "You shouldn't fight with your cousin, you should love him." I would never say this to my mother, but in my mind, I was going, "Lady, you are crazy. I'm not gonna love somebody who tried to hurt me. I don't know what you think love is or what love's got to do with it, but no, thank you. I pass." Now, I thought about love periodically, but the next time it really hit me was teenage years, and I got the normal lecture, sex is not love kind of thing. But the next big thinking about love was when I was in the convent, and they taught us about agape, which is the love in the Christian community. And the idea is that you love somebody like you love yourself, and you love them all equally, and you do for them what you would want them to do for you. I thought it was a great concept. Hard to live, but I did try. However, there was a glitch, and here was the glitch. The glitch was, if you weren't part of that Christian community, this so-called infinitely loving God was going to condemn you at the worst to hell and the best to purgatory. I could not get my mind around that concept. So I just sort of let it sit and left the convent and did other things. I got married, went to graduate school, and this is how one of my psychology professors explained love. It was the best explanation up to that point that I had ever gotten. Love is positive mutual reinforcement. While you're dating, you tell the other person you're beautiful, you're handsome, you're witty, you're cute, you're funny, you're so intelligent, you're et cetera, et cetera. Then we get married. And life starts interfering, or we start seeing the person in a different light, and the positive reinforcement goes down. Now, that was a good lesson for me, because it warned me what to not let happen in my marriage. And I lived by that code, even with my friends, until I went back to graduate school to get my doctorate. I left my house at 6 in the morning and returned at 10 at night. I spent some time with my husband on Saturdays, but it was mainly doing things like shopping for groceries and running our errands. Sundays, I did all my papers. He went with COPD and prepared every night, except on Saturday when I cook, 2 meals for me to take with me the next day. He did that for 6 years. In addition to that, he used to go with me. This was before you could download articles. And I was doing my dissertation. And we go to Loyola Library on Michigan Boulevard. And he would walk across Michigan Boulevard from the parking lot with his walker and stand in the library and Xerox articles for me as I ran to the stacks and got them. And something during that 6 years clicked, and I said, I am not giving him much positive reinforcement, and look what this man is doing for me. Love has got to be something more than that. At the same time, I was studying Buddhism. And Buddhists say love, or compassion, which you should have for everyone, is wishing their happiness and doing what it takes to get it for them, if you can contribute. Sometimes you can't. And you feel the same about everybody, and you wish everybody the same happiness. Am I there yet? No. No, I'm not, but I'm trying. But as much as I study Buddhism and practice meditation from a Buddhist perspective, I'm a Unitarian. That's what I declare myself if I have to declare. So I started thinking, what's love got to do with being a Unitarian? Started thinking about social justice. Is that the same thing as love? I thought about the support of this church, and boy, when my husband was really sick, I cannot tell you what that meant to me. That's maybe love. But then something came to me. I don't really have a clue. I don't have an answer about what love has to do with being a Unitarian. Now, when I don't have an answer, I don't like it. But I didn't know how to get an answer until they asked me, would I fill in the pulpit? And I went, oh yeah. Then I discovered it was on the Gay Pride Day, and I thought, we're gonna have a small congregation. And usually the people who can't take the sun are the older and wiser people. Not that I don't have a lot of gray hair under all this dye. And I decided this would be a wonderful, wonderful day to get my answer. And the way I would do it is to look at all of you and say, help me. Can you please tell me what love has to do with being a Unitarian? So I turn the microphone to all of you and ask you to help me what love has to do with being a Unitarian.
I think one of the key aspects of Unitarianism for me is accepting people as they are, with a loving kindness, with an acceptance of their unique expression of their personality and their humanness in this world, no matter what gender or bigender or color our station, our class, our education, you are my brother, my sister, and accepting people, the good, the bad, and all. I think that's a Unitarian motto in love.
Yes.
Well, I'm just learning about the UU Church because we just joined. Sorry. and I've been reading A Chosen Faith, which was suggested by Sabrina the last time she spoke. And one of the things that that book really talks about is experience. And that's one of the things I really like about this church, is because we're so accepting of so many other people, we get the benefit of their experiences, whether good or bad. And it really makes you grow as a person. And I really like that idea. And I've never been in a church that seems as accepting of so many different people and so many different experiences. And I think that that just makes it easier to fit in and easier to grow as a person.
Anybody else on love and Unitarianism? So far, we have acceptance. We have support.
There's been a motto or in the Unitarian Universalist circle for a while called standing on the side of love. I think we need to change that a bit. I think we should be standing in the midst of love, not just on the side of love. And I also think we should look at the word stand. Some people can't stand, but they're still on the side of love or in the midst of love. Some people, so we really need to look at the images we use when we talk about our Unitarian faith, and even though it is a broad faith and very accepting, we need to look at images and what they tell us.
As Mary said that, and I'm giving you some more time to think here as I speak and contribute, as Mary said that, I was thinking about one time I was trying to explain to one of my friends what it meant to be a Unitarian. And she said, "What do you believe?" And I said, "I don't know." And she said, "Well," I said, "we have some principles, but we don't have a creed." And I said, "One of the principles I latch onto is the interconnectedness of everyone." And she said, "Well, all churches believe that." And I go, "No, no, no, no." I said, "You have to understand, in my church, we have atheists. We have humanists who are atheists and humanists who are theists. We, in my particular Unitarian church, I don't know if we have Christians, but I believe we do." And I said, "There is a whole website for Unitarian Christians, and we have mystics, and we have Buddhists, and we have pagans." Her mouth drops open. She goes, "You have pagans in your church?" "Yeah, we even have pagans who lead services." And I said, "And what we do is we support each other on our paths." Now, I never thought about a symbol until that Mary Johnson just said it. It would be great if we had some kind of Unitarian symbol that symbolized how we accept everybody. So for what I'm hearing this morning is that we stand in the middle of love with a lot of acceptance and a lot of diversity. What else does being a Unitarian and love have to do with each other?
For me, being a Unitarian and having this love also means bringing it out into the world outside of this church. And that interconnectedness that we all have with each other, we don't just have it with each other, we have it with everybody in the world. And sometimes just taking that and thinking about it more often gives you a chance to connect with people that you wouldn't normally get a chance to connect to. And the difference that can take place when you're just having interaction with somebody and being mindful of that connection that we all have with each other can really make a difference both in me and the person that I'm having that connection with.
It can be really important to both of us, I think, and change us quite a bit.
I have a love, to follow up on what she says, I have a love-hate relationship with this interconnectedness of people. Because right now, there's a group of people I would really like to dislike. And it isn't a racial thing, it's a political thing. And surprisingly, it isn't Democrats versus Republicans. It's people who want to take my pension benefits away. And I really am having a really hard time not wishing them evil. And I have to think about that, and I keep thinking about that Unitarian principle, that if I do that, if I wish somebody outside of this group evil, what does that tell about me as a Unitarian? And do I really agree with that principle? You know, what if I go against it? So that's kind of a hard thing. I just love that principle and hate it at the same time, because it would be so much easier to just sit there and say, fall off the ends of the earth, you nasty people. But can't do that if you believe in the interconnectivity of things. The idea of being a Unitarian is not easy, because it's difficult to explain. Is support, example, I used to be very supportive to all my clients. I didn't really love some of my clients. Others, it was easy to like it and love them. Others, I had to work at it. Is support the same thing? Because we give each other support, is that the same thing as love in Unitarianism?
I think that's an individual thing. I think it's intent. And only you know that intent. Only you know what's in your heart. And as you know what's in your heart, that's what you send out. Support, you're doing the very best you can, knowing that you're on the road to doing better than you've done before. But you're practicing all that you can with what you know. And that's for spirit, for posterity, for your beingness, that's what your purpose is, to grow along the way. So don't judge it.
Intent, I love that word. I belong to this little group, and somebody keeps bringing up the idea of intent. And when she first brought it up, I thought, there she goes again. And then I started thinking about it. And then we watched a movie whose name it just went, What the Bleep Do We Know? You like that movie? And this one man talks about intent. So I started thinking about that word intent. And I started thinking about, what does it mean to set my intention? And I thought, I don't really know. Is it going to make any difference if I intend something? So I have to do a lot of things during the day because I'm a caretaker, and sometimes I get a little sick of it, and I get a little short-tempered. So I put in my phone, which I'm using to keep time, I put in my phone by certain alarms that remind me to do things, the word compassion. And I've been doing that for about 3 weeks. So every time I go to shut off an alarm, I see that word. The other day, in fact, yesterday, my husband says to me, you seem a lot happier lately. The only thing I could think of was every time I went to this alarm, I saw compassion. And I kept putting myself in my husband's place, saying, if I had 20% breathing capacity, would I remember to take my walks? Would I remember, or is just breathing taking so much effort that I might forget things? Just that word compassion made a difference. So intent, I'm finding, is really important. Did you want to say something?
That was really striking a chord with me, honestly, because I mean the whole love thing and the intent thing and all that, it's been something I've kind of ideas I've struggled with for a while, but I've got a pretty fair background in some martial arts, and several years back an instructor of mine was talking about intent and was claiming and telling us how you could feel people's intent. I'm like, oh, come on, what is this mystic mumbo jumbo stuff, you know? And well, he pretty thoroughly proved to me that there is an extreme difference when someone walks up to you with the intent to harm you versus when someone walks up to you with the intent to be friendly. And it's something that we get and something that we understand on a level that we're not conscious of in most times. But this extends much further than just, you know, harm and preservation. It goes to everything. Your intent really does broadcast, and we do know how to read it within each other. So the intent that you hold in your heart is very important in how you deal with people. You know, I mean, you can tell when someone is not being sincere. You can tell when someone does honestly care, but they're struggling with how to approach it. You know, and this is also part of love, because I've been kind of shy about the word love. And I've not liked it a lot. I mean, of course, I love my wife and my kids, and this is a love that I understand, but, you know, you go to churches, and they're always talking about, oh, love, and love here, and love everyone, and love this, and after a while, it just got to be really an obnoxious, squishy, saccharine-y, sweetie, what are you talking about, people? No, that's for special people, not everyone. But love wears different hats, you know. There's a devotion and there's a concern and care that, you know, you don't have to love everyone like you love your wife or your husband, but you can still love them. And it's something I'm struggling with and coming to grips with now, but this redefining of the word in these broader senses. But, yeah, so intent is very important, and intent definitely makes a difference. So I'm a believer in that for sure.
I hadn't thought about many of the things you just said. And I was thinking about, yeah, you know when people are out to harm you, usually, unless they're a good psychopath and know how to keep it hidden. But usually we know. Someone, I read psychology, and one of the things that amazed me and something I am really watching is, if people look at pictures of people of their own race, they see those people as kinder and nicer. If they look at people of other races, they put more ill intent on them. So, now I have a question. This is going to be different. I want to ask the kids something. Do you kids ever talk about love in your Sunday school class? No? No. You have?
Yeah. He has.
About love?
Yes.
You have. What did they say? You just have to hold it. You can't remember? But they do talk about it.
Yes, they do talk about it. They say what you basically what they did was they told us what the church was all about, and I can't seem to remember it.
But you remember that they talked about it?
Yes.
Thank you. Ben, you have anything to say?
No.
No? Anybody else have anything to say? Any of the other children? So intention is important. I like the idea of something you brought up that I hadn't thought of, is there's different types of love. You know, I certainly don't go around loving other men like I love my husband. You know, there's different types of expressions of love that we use. And so I have a question, because I've been thinking about this too. Is social justice love?
Yes. I mean, how could you have social justice? Why would you even want to strive for social justice if you don't have love for other people? I mean, it's based on love. In other words, if I had everything I needed and I'm doing quite well, thank you very much, and if I didn't have compassion for all the other people that may not be doing as well as I am, then if I didn't have the love for other people, so like for example, let's say for example one of my children are hurt, then I don't go and say, well, too bad, I'm not hurt. As a father, I would go, because I have love for my children, I want to go and help my child if they're hurting in any way. And that's not necessarily physical love. It could be financial. Now my kids aren't old enough to be on their own and be on their own finance. But if they were, I would help them, because to me, you know, we are one family. Well, take that same concept and make it macro. Now, if your world, if everybody is related to each other, which by the way we are, but if everybody is related to everybody else and they're like my children or my dad or my mom, then if they're hurting, then I want to help them, and that's social justice. You want not just good for yourself, but good for them. And that can only come about, like the same thing that if my child was hurt, I want to help them, and that's via love. So you take that same concept and you make everybody else your family. You want to help them. What else can it be? It has to be love.
All right, here we go. I'm going to turn this one around. No, I don't think social justice is love. I think it goes back to intent, first of all. The story I just heard, the argument I just heard, certainly there was a lot of love in there, but it wasn't, social justice wasn't love. We have a man here with a large, caring heart who cares about other people and thinks it's natural and normal and right to take care of other people, and that's a wonderful thing. Social justice isn't always used this way, though. I've seen it used in ways much more sinister and unloving. I've seen it used to control and bully. Social justice is neither love or not love. It is just a program. It's a idea. It's a system of taking care of other people. It's a social system. And the love depends on you and me and the people taking part and the people not taking part. It's love comes from the people. It doesn't come from the program. It doesn't come from the law or from the rules or from the organization. It comes from the people. And if the people are loving in their intent and in their actions, then there is love there. And if the people are not loving and they do not have the care and the love and their intent and their actions, then it's not loving. It's not love. And it's something else.
We're back to intent. And I'm thinking about this. When I was up north, and I'm going to use that hospital because nobody could possibly know anybody there, I don't think. And I worked at Algin. they built a new mental hospital, and we were moving from the old building to the new building. And the new building was dangerous. And I knew the new building had danger spots, serious ones. When they let the patients tour it, they immediately noticed where they were. Two of the patients asked if they could talk to me. And I said, sure. And they said they didn't know I was leaving and going to another place. Because I took one look at that building and I said, not my head. And they would not promote me or my girlfriend, so we both left. But I'm looking at it, and they asked me, could they talk to me? Sure. They look at me and they go, Dee, we just want you to know you're on our good list. And I looked at them and I said, what do you mean by that? They said, we know you care. We're not going to get you in the new building. Upon further investigation, they had divided the staff into people who care and people who don't care. And it isn't that they delivered poor services, the people they put in don't care. It wasn't lack of services. It was what I think you're talking about. They knew the difference in our hearts, and the intent came through in the treatment. It's a big lesson to me. Of course, I, you know, let the staff know what the patients had said and, you know, who they put in one list and who they put in another. And thank God I was going to be gone the next week because I didn't relish having to run to all these codes to protect the people that they were going to harm. But I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about the intent, the difference between delivering good nursing care, for example, with intent of love, and the people who don't have that intent but still deliver the good care. It's interesting, when my husband was so sick, he could pick that up. He could pick it up. And he rarely asked for special treatment, but he asked for one technician to be a health technician or whatever they called them, the people who assisted, to be moved. And they did. And I am thinking now that you can do social justice without love, unless you have a heart like yours, where you care so much for the person or the other person with that intent. I also saw that in many, I'm thinking about all my career, and I'm thinking, wow, that's important. Do we mentor people here? Do we mentor people? I come into the Unitarian Church and I'm trying to find out what love is, and who do I have to talk to about being a Unitarian in love? Anybody? What do I do? I'm going to walk around so I don't have to reach across people. I reached across Ethel. I don't want to reach across anybody else.
Well, just to answer your question, we had a very active mentoring service at one time, and then we had a infusion of new members and so forth, and it kind of got hard to get people to be mentors, but it was very specified, you know, what being a mentor was, and helping the persons who were newly becoming members to navigate the ins and outs and how things work around here. It was a good program. We need to get back with it. But I just want to put in my two cents worth about social justice. I guess people do social justice. I guess people do forms of social justice, but I don't know. To be really effective, it seems like there has to be some love there. You have to care. I can remember the last presidential election. It might have been the 2008, but this, in a series of
debates that went on, and the health care, you know, reform was on the table and so forth. And, you know, one of the candidates was asked, well, if everybody doesn't have health care, what happens to people that show up and they just don't have, you know, any kind of health care? Do we just turn them away? And the candidate said, yes, that's what you have to do. And I thought, oh, my God.
I'm thinking, and I'm going to give you some, tell a story so you have some time to gather if you have any final thoughts before we quit for today. When I was in college, I left the Comet and I didn't have a penny to my name. And I borrowed money for tuition with no idea how I was going to pay it back. So I go up to pay my, now I've gone through the whole process of changing colleges, gone through admissions, went through the financial aid department, told me I didn't qualify. They did all this stuff. And I go to pay my tuition to a clerk, and I put my tuition down, and involuntarily I started crying. I hate crying in public, so I'm embarrassed. And the guy says, why are you crying? I said, oh, nothing. And he said, no, you don't stand here and cry. I take tuition all day. Why are you crying? I said, because I have no idea how I'm going to pay this back. I don't have a penny to my name, and I got to pay it back in 2 months. And he goes, did you go to our financial aid department? I went, yeah. And he just rolls his eyes and he says, come on back with me. Tell somebody else to take over his line. And he got me a grant, not just for that tuition, but for the whole year. He cared. Apparently no one else that I had been through the whole process with and explained my situation cared. That one little man made a huge difference in my life. I still had to work, but it was to pay for my food. And I went hungry enough my senior year of college without having to have no money. So I was very lucky he did that. That's social justice done with heart. Before I summarize, anybody else got any words of wisdom?
I think all the questions you've asked are intriguing, but I think one of the things I wanted to add, it all starts with the self. So if you don't love yourself or care about yourself, it is hard, very difficult to pass it on to others. Maybe it goes back to the intentions, maybe it goes back to self-care, I don't know, but the bottom line is, if I have moods, so one day I care about myself, and I'm loving to my husband and my kids and my coworkers and anyone I come in contact with. Other days, I am totally not in touch with myself, I don't care about anything, and I come across the same way to everyone I interact with. So at the end of the day, it is self-love that you project onto others, be it through the church, your work, driving, whatever you do. So if we can take a moment of a day, especially at the beginning of the day, to ground ourselves and love ourselves, then we'll pass it on to everyone we come in contact with that day.